26 before the hour. Good morning. John Harper, Glenn Leverins, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Patrick Madrid at the top of the hour at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, as we talk about how action follows prayer. We were talking about that earlier this morning, as a matter of fact. How many times do you pray and you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to take that prayer and to put it into action? And that's where we get tripped up from time to time. But we have a very important feast day coming up tomorrow and the intercession of a saint that you can call on to put action and take prayer and put it into action. And of course, so much more. And of course, we're getting ready for a brand new school year. We're going to talk about that with our Tuesday spiritual director, Father David Genuine, the parochial vicar of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Petaluma, California, in the Diocese of Santa Rosa. Good morning, Father David. How are you?
Good morning, John. Good morning, Glenn. How are you guys doing?
Hey, where did the summer go? How did we get to August 13th when we're talking about school and everything, huh?
Yeah, it was, I think I've had that conversation with teachers, principals, parents, the pastor. We're all going, what happened? I don't know. There must have been some sort of a breeze blew the summer away.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You know, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit is the executive producer of Relevant Radio, and a thread that's been all through the broadcast today is to put action into it, to put prayer into action, and how actions follow prayer and how we must do that. And tomorrow we celebrate the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And if we have difficulty following prayer with action, just ask for his intercession.
Absolutely, absolutely. He was, he was a Franciscan, and so you would think, oh, he's just kind of spent his time in a quiet little place, perhaps praying, or maybe I don't know, watering the plants and tending to the animals. And he's the patron saint of quite a few different things. He founded what he called the Militia Immaculata. He wanted to create an army of people praying to Our Lady. And he got the idea when he was in Rome, and this was kind of post-Garibaldi and during what they called anarchists. There was a lot of anarchists. And I guess for me, I always think of the anarchists were the guys in the old black and white silent movies who were carrying around those big bowling ball-sized bombs. And that was kind of how they portrayed it in public media, but St. Maximilian Kolbe took advantage of media to spread devotion, to continue to admonish people and to encourage people to persevere in prayer, but to turn to Our Lady and to learn their faith. And so back in his day, technology meant printing presses and amateur radio stations, and so there's a lot of focus among some Franciscans. There are quite a few Franciscans who have turned to media kind of in his footsteps, but it admonishes us. And there was just a simple little prayer in the Militia Immaculata. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And with that, that's the little motto that goes around the miraculous medal. And so it's interesting too to note that in a lot of evangelization, that's exactly what we're doing, is handing out miraculous medals and rosaries, and just whether people recognize what it is or whether Our Lady recognizes who they are and then draws them to the church. But if it reminds them to pray, or at least reminds them that there is something supernatural.
No, I was going to say, in looking at the life of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and again, using the early and mid-20th century means of communications, and that was generally the printing press as the electronic media was in its infancy, all of us today have an evangelization tool in our pockets. It's a smartphone, and we really can use it to do the share, the good, the true, the beautiful. We don't have to jump on the latest snarky thing on social media. We can change the conversation. That's the power that we have and the gifts that God's given us.
Absolutely, and that's people have said to me, and in fact, I see it. You'll see it around Lent. People say, I'm off social media, and during Lent, I'm on social media, not because I'm checking out who's talking about who, but more along the lines of to remind people what it is, and to remind people of a saint of the day, and to share information, and to share information about the parish, to share information of what's going on in the church, to share information about just kind of an admonition to pray. Oftentimes, even in my own daily prayers, something will kind of stand out for me in praying the Divine Office or during the Mass. And when I'm finished with my prayers, I'll put it up on social media, just a small snippet of something from prayer. And quite often, you get the responses are, well, somewhat along the lines of, you know, you were involved in a God incident, a coincidence of God's, in the sense that they'll say, thank you, Father, that's what I needed to hear, or amen, or, you know, and it just keeps to reminding people that you know, we don't hide our light under a bushel basket. And so, you know, we do have the media of the day, and we, you know, it's not an amateur radio station, it's not a printing press, it's the internet, and we have at our disposal every moment of every day the opportunity to choose to edify or to choose to tear down. And it's up to us how we use that.
Father David Genuine is our Tuesday spiritual director this morning at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And we are on the eve of the feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe, and we're looking at his remarkable life and what it means for us to follow prayer with action in this perseverance and faith, hope, and love. And even though he was imprisoned, he's actually imprisoned twice. The second time, while he was in Auschwitz, he continued to publish his religious works. Nothing stopped him. This man did not have fear.
Right. It was, you know, I got to wonder what that was, because he had been imprisoned, but he'd also been sick. He had tuberculosis, and this is before antibiotics. And so, makes me wonder, was that his kind of being spurred on to go forward and not give up, in the sense of if he felt a call to sainthood. And he did at a young age, was praying, and he was kind of, he'd been scolded by a teacher. And so he was praying, and, what will ever become of me? And he felt just horrible about it. And Our Lady appeared to him in a vision or in a dream and offered him two crowns, a white and a red, mm-hmm. white for purity and red for martyrdom. And like many saints, his response as a child was, I choose both. And so I think that when he thought he was dying of tuberculosis and then recovered, and it was at the time no antibiotics, no treatments, and so quite a deadly disease, that when he recovered, he said, okay, I didn't die, so now
right.
It's time to get to work. And or all saints, even Saint Francis himself, had many near death encounters and would get back up and say, you know, now I'm going to do it right. Now I'm going to and go back to work with even more fervor, even more vigor. And so in prison, he didn't let that get in the way. And in prison, he still functioned as a priest, much to the chagrin of his captors, who just wanted him to give up. And the big moment, of course, in Maximilian Kolbe's life, which was defined as martyrdom in a sense of giving his life for another, mm-hmm. was there had been an escape at the prison camp, and the commandant's solution to scare the other prisoners into not escaping was he was going to kill somebody every, I think he took 10 prisoners. And so one of the men fell to his knees and said, I'm a father, I have children. And they kind of took that with a cruel glee. And so what happened was Max Kolbe stepped forward, and the commandant looks at this and goes, you know, gee, do we have number 11? And he says, trade. I'm going to trade with him, my life for his. And he said, who are you, thinking this was his brother or his cousin or his relative? And he said, I'm a priest. And then the commandant thought, well, here's a good opportunity to show them what their priest is brave. Now let's see how right. brave he is as we starve him to death. And Kolbe continued praying. They were put in a starvation cell. And so he continued to pray. He continued to encourage. He sang hymns. He recited scripture. He continued to be a priest, to the frustration of his captors,
mm-hmm.
Because eventually the others died of starvation and dehydration. And Kolbe, despite the physical effects of starvation and dehydration, continued to be alert, continued to pray out loud, continued to sing hymns to Our Lady and church songs and religious hymns until they had to give him a lethal injection. They're like, this guy's just not going to die the way we want him to. And that was an encouragement to those other captives in Auschwitz, that they're hearing hymns and prayers and praises of God and coming out of this cell where prior they had heard despair. And that became a sign of hope for the others who were held captive. And so it's just amazing that we tend to focus inward on ourselves, and here even in his extreme circumstances and at the extremes of his life, that Maximilian Kolbe turned out and focused on God. And I think that's a lesson for all of us. We all have, you know, even if it's the most minor ache or pain, is that we can continue to turn to God and continue to pray and continue to praise him and continue to thank him. And that's something that we don't tend to focus on in our day and age. We tend to internalize everything and kind of self-pity and focusing on the pain or focusing on the disease or focusing on the crisis, mm-hmm. instead of recognizing that in the midst of whatever it may be, that there is a God who loves us, a God who desires to spend eternity with us, and a God who is calling us at every moment of every day to draw closer to him in prayer, in praise, in thanksgiving.
Father David Genuine with us this morning at 15 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And while the majority of us won't be in a situation that St. Maximilian Kolbe was in a concentration camp being starved to death, in a culture of comfort, how do we lay down our life for somebody else?
Well, in a culture of comfort, and this is because the one thing is people will say, well, I can never, you know, they'll achieve despair at the thought of what am I going to do? How will I ever do this? But it's in the small things. It is in the small things. For instance, it was before I was in seminary that I was praying, and someone had given me a prayer book, and in the back of this prayer book was an examination of conscience based on the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And I remember charity was the first one, and there were, I think, about 20 points under charity. And the first three really got me. Have I told God that I loved him today? Have I told Jesus that I love him today? Have I told the Holy Spirit that I love him today? And I read that, and I went, oh, come on. Obviously, you know, God wants big things from me. And I was a young man. And so, you know, young men like adventure, like big things. And so what that did, though, was in a very pragmatic sense, going through those 40 points in this examination of conscience, was I would throughout the day, when I first read it, I got frustrated. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, just do it. And so I stopped and I said, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. And those acts of love, and then an act of faith, you know, I believe in you, an act of faith, hope, and love. These are things, I trust, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. God, I trust in your will for me. These little acts of faith, hope, and love that we can do without a prayer book, without being in a church, just being grateful, walking around, and you know, the sun cuts through the trees and casts a shadow at your feet or something, and you look up and you see the light and the shadow and the beauty of that. And just to say, thank you, God, and to recognize that God is in every moment of every day, but also to be grateful for that and to recognize that he is reaching out to us, not just in big things, not just in happiness, but also in sadness.
Right.
To just engage our own faith, hope, and love, but engage it in communion with God at every moment. And that those little things, which some people would just kind of treat as trivial, those little things are the things that build our relationship with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also help us to recognize the presence of God and the action of God and the love of God in every single moment of every day. And we tend to plug in and plug out and plug in and plug out. And maybe we're unplugged more often than we're plugged in right. to the grace of God in every moment. And these are the things, these are the ways that we do this. And Colby turned his entire life into this, in his culmination of giving up his life and recognizing here is an opportunity to show the gospel, because the Nazis did not want them to be talking about the faith. They did not want them praying. They did not want them having the sacraments. They wanted to take away everything from these people, to push them to despair, to kind of have almost a cruel control over their every thought, word, and deed. And Colby's perseverance in this is an example to us in our culture of comfort, that when something comes up, when anything comes up, disappointment, physical pain, chronic illness, anything like that, these are opportunities for us to place ourselves at the feet of God, tell him that we love him, no matter how we feel, to tell him that we hope in him, that we trust in his will for us, and to tell him just to be grateful for the good and the bad. In the book of Job, we thank God for the good things. Why don't we thank God for the bad things? And I think there's wisdom in that, for us to recognize that everything he gives us is for our good, whether we recognize it in that moment or not.
Father David Genuine is the parochial vicar of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Petaluma, California. He is our Tuesday spiritual director, helping you at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. 10 before the hour, we shift our focus to the beginning of the school year, coming up next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.